Take your Bibles, please, and turn to Genesis. We're going to finish up the creation account and, Lord willing, finish this chapter this morning. We're working through the creation account, and this is the explanation of what it was like, the history of specifically the creation of Adam. We have lots of questions from Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, and I think God's intention here is not to answer all our questions, but rather to give the redeemed nation of Israel everything they need to know in order to walk in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So, you know, the more time I spend in these chapters, it seems like the less I really understand. We want to pick it up in verse 15, where the Lord God took the man and set him or put him in the Garden of Eden for tending it and for guarding it, for taking care of it. What I'd like to just remind us here is that we probably need a lot bigger garden. In our mind's eye, we probably have maybe, you know, half an acre with a nice little fence around it. I think you should be thinking more along the lines of maybe 7 or 10,000 acres. You know, he says that in this region of Eden, he made a garden, and in the garden, he put every tree that was beautiful to look at, that was also good for food, for fruit. There's like 100,000 trees worldwide that people eat the fruit of, and every plant and vegetation that was beneficial to humans, and you put that into the mix, you've got like 300,000 plants. You know, if each one of them takes a plot of ground to expand and grow, you know, what kind of beautiful tree comes to mind? When I think of a beautiful tree, I think of maybe the treaty oak, you know, one of these massive things. And he made this garden with Adam in it. So, and, you know, there's regions in it. When he talks about the bush, the word he uses is only used 4 times in Scripture, and it's always of an arid desert bush, you know. Wow, what about that? And then the river, that's an unnamed river, coming out of the garden and out of the region of Edom. And, you know, every river starts with headwaters and then comes down and filters out and gets slower and slower. If you ever been across the Mississippi River down near New Orleans, you know, there's a lot of water, but it's not moving very fast. This river out of Eden comes down, and it's the headwaters of 4 other major rivers, 2 of which we know are already named, and they're serious rivers. So we need a bigger garden. That's my final thoughts on that. Now, in verses 16 and 17, we see a restriction and the penalty. The Lord God commanded over the man, saying, from all of the trees, from every tree of the garden, you may eat everything you want. All you want, you can eat. It's a pandiatis. It means you can eat it like crazy. No restrictions. Every tree of the garden is yours. And from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, we've already been introduced to that, you will not eat from it. Don't eat from this tree. You know, and this introduces all kinds of really interesting things. Why God would develop a world where somebody can do the wrong thing. If he hadn't have done that, we would not understand his grace, his love, his forgiveness. All of those things would have not been made known to us about who God is. But he put a restriction in place, and he says, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Because whenever you eat it, if you eat it, when you eat it, at the time when you eat it, eat from it, you will absolutely be dead as a doornail. On that day, I'm going to kill you deader than a doornail. So, and again, retranslating this, he's not talking here about spiritual death. He's talking about when you eat it, I'm going to kill you. So the penalty of this is death. Don't do it. In verses 18 to 20, we see the inductive learning curve for Adam. Let's look at verse 18. And the Lord God said, you know, this is in contrast to everything else that has been good up to this point. The Lord God said, not good. It's not good. The man to be alone by himself. When I look at him for himself, by himself, it's not good. I will make for him a helper, an assistant. And then this next term, it's a prepositional phrase. And everywhere else in Scripture, with some exceptions, namely here and a couple of other places, this word is translated, I hate to tell you, it's translated opposite. So I am going to make for him an assistant, a helper, with a likeness opposite him. Opposite. You look in Nehemiah, and it's you work on this right there, and I'll work opposite you on that. And always opposite. Inductive learning. Verse 19. And the Lord God sculpted out of the ground, out of the soil, every living thing of the field and every bird of the heavens. And he caused them to come to the man to see what he would call for it, what kind of a name he would give for it. And everything which he called it, the man called it, the living thing of creation, that was its name. So, you know, just taking a region like the Garden of Eden and all the acreage that's in there and all of the living things that are in there, I'm not certain that all of this took place on day six. So I think what we have is Genesis 1, an overview of it. Genesis 2, starting with verse 4, is another flyby specifically answering the questions concerning, okay, where did men come from? Where did women come from? Where did marriage come from? Where did family come from? And so he's giving this longer explanation. So, you know, all of the animals that God created, they came by to Adam. And, you know, using only my limited knowledge of animal husbandry from our farm, all the animals came two by two, okay? And there's a male and a female, and he gave them names. You know, the ostrich, you know, the fox, the hippopotamus. He gave them all names, every one of them. How long did that take? You know, I know Adam was brilliant, had to be, but, you know, I can't come up with a good name for my dog, dog number seven. You know, and he named all of the animals and named them based on their essence, not just what they looked like, but then the aspect of the animals, which we all know is different, is unique. No. How many of you are cat people? Okay, how many of you are dog people? How many have dogs and cats? Not very many have both. You know, it's, we had cats on our farm, but you didn't want them as pets. They were nasty animals. They would hide in the bushes at night when you'd go out and grab your legs. All my pant legs were shredded. Not quite that bad. But he brought all the animals, and whatever he called it, that's what its name was. And I don't know how long it took, but it seems to me that even as you look at the accounts in the New Testament of this, the only creation in Scripture, that, you know, there was a ruling, an exercising of dominion by Adam prior to this bringing Eve and making a helper. So the inductive learning taught him that there was no one that corresponded or was opposite him, was a likeness opposite to him. So in verses 21 and 22, we're going to see the solution here. I want to translate verse 20. And the man called the names to all the land animals, of the birds of the birds of the heavens, and to all the living things of the field. And for the man, there was not found a helper or an assistant with a likeness opposite him. So twice in these verses, there's the problem that with all of the animals, they're two by two, male and female, but with the male, there was no one corresponding to him or opposite him. And it seems to me that what God has in mind here is that, unlike the animal kingdom, the husband and wife, the male and the female, would be opposite each other. And they would be like this. And if you think of a couple, this is how they are. Hopefully a married couple. You know, but the opposites attract kind of nuance here. Glenn talks about this. So I recommend this book. I bought extra. You need this. Lie number 5. Men and women are basically the same. Countering truth. The differences, not the similarities, define men and women. Big hint, I wrote in my notebook. I wrote in my journal just below the words, chemistry in relationships is God's business. Great book on relationships. I've got extras. The whole concept of being opposite and opposites attract, that he made someone that is not like him. It's different. And the relationship is like this, unlike all of the other animals. In verses 21 and 22, we'll see what an amazing, unique solution God had for this. And the Lord God caused to fall a deep sleep over the man, and he slept. And God took one from among his ribs and closed up the flesh of the place from it, of it. So he took it, and the place of it, he closed it back up. Now, everywhere else we've seen God created, God made, we saw God fashioned like a craftsman would build a precious vase. That's how he sculpted the man. Here, however, the Lord God took that rib and did something different with the rib than he did with all of the other animals. Everything else was made from dirt, sculpted from dirt. But the woman, he built, banah, like you would build a house. Or the rabbis use this as a figure of speech for why the woman is ideal for the household. But he took the rib and he built, constructed, like you're going to make something with longevity and sturdiness. Why do women live longer than men? Well, because the male was sculpted and the woman was built, and not from dirt, but rather from one of the ribs. And the Lord God built the rib, which he took from the man, into a woman. And he caused her to be brought to the man. Now, interesting how the Hebrew reads here. You only get what you need from this passage. But I have a lot of questions. I wonder if in this large Garden of Eden, I'm going to say 7 to 10,000 acre garden, he took the woman that he built from the rib and he put her someplace. Hey, Adam, I got something for you. Go look for it. Boy, what a Christmas present. Can you imagine the look on Adam's face? I mean, he'd already discovered the joy of eating a peach when he bites into it and the juice surges down on his beard. And, you know, he's been running through this incredible land called the Garden of Eden and all the animals. And we'll see next chapter the relationship between man and animals. That there's no death. There's no worry about food. But, you know, here he comes face to face with the woman. Now there is the man and there is his woman opposite him. What an incredible experience that must have been. This is good. It's not good for man to be alone. He needs an opposite. How many of you married an opposite? Opposites attract. That's God's business. Of all the people in the world that you fell in love with, you picked an opposite. Because that's exactly what God knows that you need. And Adam's really smart, you know, he's a smart guy. He figures this out in verses 23 and 24. Let's just read it. And the man said, you could, anywhere it says man, you could translate it Adam. This, and the pronoun he uses here is a feminine singular. This, whoa. This now, and this time, this one, bone from my bones, flesh from my flesh, she is called Isha, Isha, woman, because from Ish, from man, she has been taken, this one. So he recognizes, I'm sure, as you know, I would think that you can't have any kind of a surgery without some sort of residual pain. And, you know, I got a new stitch in my side. Wow. You know, God explained to him what he'd done. And he makes this declaration, gives her the name as he has been exercising dominion. She's going to be called woman. Like in English, we have man and then a derivative of the name that's common in many languages. Therefore, or for this reason, over this, because the one who now is opposite Adam, this is the establishment of a very important concept. A man, Ish, will abandon or will leave his father and his mother and cling, it's be glued, stuck. You know, I know that you're real happy to know our students are learning to be beekeepers. And how many of you have noticed the beehive out in the foyer there by the door? Anybody? Yeah. Oh, you guys are oblivious. You come in looking for donuts and coffee. On the way out, look to the left. There's a really cool beehive that my students have built. Took them forever. But we glued it. You know, I taught them how to build this thing. We used Gorilla Glue. And it foamed out. And those boxes, I don't care how old they are, they're never going to come apart. They're glued solid. That's, he says, for this reason, a person, a man, Ish is going to abandon his father, abandon his mother, and cling to the wife, his wife, and they are for one flesh. One flesh is where they came from. So they will be together. This whole thing raises so many different questions. There's no father and mother yet. right? Adam was created with the appearance of age. And all the discussions, did Adam have a belly button and so forth? You know, he wasn't born, he was created. He was created with the appearance of age, as is the universe that we're in. The whole naming, the structure of here, no father or mother yet. But there's no sin yet in the world. And there's large extended questions that come out of this passage. But I think what the goal here is to tell us how it happened and where it came from. That's the tovolodot, to be born, to be brought forth. This is the history of the heavens and the earth as it pertains to humans. This is where they came from. And this is why there are families, and how the families are structured, and how the families are built, and how they establish independent unions, and how the husband and wife are glued together. Verse 25, and the two of them were naked, the man and his woman. Here we're back to Adam, not Ish. And the man and his Isha, his woman, were naked, and they were not ashamed. So, you know, to me this raises all kinds of questions. They're naked without any clothes. Okay, well, what about the climate? You know, does this sound like a good thing to do in Dallas in December? No. You know, the topography. He's got no shoes. They've got no shoes. You know how far I'd get with no shoes? Maybe to the fence. You know, and then I'd regret it. And don't tell me, oh, my feet are tough. No, they aren't. Just go in the garage with no shoes and socks. You'll tell me, who broke that? You know, but if you have semi-arid regions within this garden of Eden, because of the shrub that's there, that's a desert shrub. How in the world, trying to work, you know, it's hard enough to work with clothes. Can you males try, imagine trying to work? You know, how in the world is that going to work out? All these questions come to my mind, and just looking at the job description God gave to Adam to tend the garden, to keep it, to water the plants. All these things are questions that come to my mind because I've been married for 50 years. You younger people have all kinds of other questions. We'll leave those alone. You can talk to your parents about it. But the whole concept here in this second chapter is that God took and made exactly what he wanted to make with the male and the opposite him, the female. And together, these two people together reflect all of the communicable attributes of God. One by himself doesn't do it, but together, that's why 127, in the image of God made he them, male and female he made them. So they're both in God's image, and they correspond to each other, and that opposites attract. So this week, as you go forward, I'd like you to just spend a little time thinking about the nature of relationships. Some of you will have time off over the Christmas break. Do some fun stuff with the opposite person that you are attached to. And remember, that was by God's design. It's not good for you not to be attached to someone who is opposite you. Do we have a closing?